You are now checked in to Stand Up New York Labs. Oh, yeah.
Stone cold, don't you know you are my heartache?
Ladies, gentlemen, people, welcome to my sexy podcast. It's time to get sexual. My guest today is a sexy woman, lady, friend. You were one of the first people, I'm going to say her name now, Julia Rossi.
Hello.
Everybody. Yeah, actually I have a sound effect for that.
Oh.
Yeah, Julia Rossi. And the crowd went mysterious. Who is she? She's a hilarious comic. She has a one-woman show called Bad Bride that's about to tour the world. She's also got a new web series called Seeing Other People that is premiering in the fall. Once again, Julia Rossi, how are you doing today?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm doing good. I found this clip of yours that I'm going to play a little ditty of.
Wait, is it stand up?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
Fall in love again, though. I will not get a guy's face tattooed on my chest. Let me explain. I don't have that, but I saw that. I was in Florida, and there was this woman holding this guy's hand, and she had his face tattooed on her heart. On her heart. I mean, like, I would not get anything on my heart. Okay, I would maybe get a Tasmanian devil with an Italian flag in its mouth. Something classy, but not some guy's face. And anyways, I was looking at him, and I was looking at her, and I was looking at the tattoo, and I kept thinking, if they titty fuck, he's going to come all over his own face. And that's awesome, right? Because now I know what it feels like.
That's right. That's right. That's a long sound effect. That was Julia Rossi. You can find her a lot of funny clips on YouTube. Julia, what's up, girl? How you doing?
I'm good.
Yeah.
I mean, I could complain, but I'm not going to complain.
Well, let's complain.
No, I don't have any complaints.
Okay, so this is Wednesday. It's Wednesday. On Monday, very sad news for the comedy community.
It's Tuesday today.
Well, it releases on Wednesday.
Oh. Edit.
You know?
Yeah.
You know? No, no edit, guys. I've got to be honest with you. It's only Tuesday, but we're acting like it's Wednesday. Everything, like our disposition is very Wednesday.
Oh, so I feel soups Wens.
Soups Wens.
Totes.
Hump day, you know?
Yeah, been humping things left and right.
Robin Williams died. That's so sad. And whenever it actually, did people text you and say like, sorry about your, a couple people texted me saying like, sorry about the loss of in your community. And it feels like dramatic, but it's also like, yeah, it's like a,
I get it. I mean, I had one friend text me this morning and just say, is the comedy community like really rocked about it?
You know,
like upset about it. And then my sister, whenever anyone, because I've been trying to cut back a lot on social media. So all I got was a text from her last night that just said, Robin Williams. And I was like, ugh. Like, that's she's pretty much my Facebook.
Yeah. Okay. So when she said the name, then you knew that he.
I said, what happened? Because I didn't. I knew that he had a history of depression but I don't know.
I knew about the drugs things, but I didn't know about, I mean, I guess it's just like you assume the depression. And one thought that I've been having more and more is like, is it that are comedians really that much more depressed, or are we just much more open about depression?
We're most open about it because we're so usually self-aware, very socially observant, very sensitive.
Yeah.
And I just
very good looking,
very good in bed. And, you know, I think those things can really affect you. I don't know. I mean, you know, there's a whole like sad clown, you know, like my friends will make that joke or whatever.
Yeah.
And I totally have issues with depression and anxiety. But then there is this part of me that's like, yeah, but what's so unique about that? I feel like everyone.
Yes.
I guess
part of being a comic is cutting to the truth of things. And oftentimes the truth about things are like, it's pretty grim. It's difficult. Life is difficult. And when you're honest with yourself about things or you cut to the truth of situations, it's hard to deal with. Also, just I guess the idea of like in this industry, I guess, because I don't know the statistics, are there more suicides in comedy? I think the idea of like reaching almost like doing ecstasy, like the dopamine is released and then you've got less the next day. In that same way in comedy, you do a show and you kill, or you are, you know, a huge star. And then in the context of Robin Williams' life, like he had a show that was canceled or that's difficult.
Well, it's like the highs are so high. When I'm high from this business,
yeah,
I'm over the moon. And when yes. I'm low, I'm like
way under the moon.
I'm way under. I'm like disabled. And
yes.
It,
yes.
It's and I've also wondered, is that part of why I'm attracted to this business? Because that's my personality in general.
Yeah.
And it's a way where I can let that personality kind of be. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I do often have that, like, what came first, the chicken or egg, as far as like comedians and depression and anxiety. And I don't know. I mean, I used to want to be a therapist before I got into this. So I've always definitely, my sister's a therapist. So my family is real into mental, I mean, into it, whether
the
we
issues.
Have it. Yeah. Yeah.
Discussing the issues.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay. Well then, rest in peace to Robin Williams. Someone posted this thing of like a gif of like, heaven's going to be laughing tonight on his face. And it's like, I don't think so. I don't think. It's
I
like,
don't know. I'm not into gifts.
Yeah.
When someone dies. I don't. I mean, that's the other, like, talk about depression and anxiety. I mean, social media, that's yes. a whole new element. And then whenever someone dies, I always have a moment of like, do I want to react?
Do I need to make like a public, like,
yeah.
Because everybody's posts are, I mean, and not to criticize it, I also said like, rest in peace. And then I posted Paul F. Tompkins article about Robin Williams, but like, which obviously I'm saying that I did it in a very tasteful way.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's interesting how everything's personalized. Everyone's sort of like, you know, posting the status of like how it affects them and all of that.
Which I understand.
Which is fine.
It's just, it is, but it's like, the internet has definitely made my, I've been trying to work, I don't know if it's a joke or if it's just like a statement, but like, I've done so much work in, like, therapy and meditating and self-help books and talking to friends to work on, like, my confidence and self-esteem
yes.
and, like, loving myself. And but I can't keep up with technology. So right now,
but,
my
which, again, then just to say, like, knowing you, you're a very I mean, to me, like, the perception is super confident, awesome, cool,
oh,
all of that.
Great. Thank you.
Which but then I guess it goes back. And probably some like I could say the same thing for myself where it's like the highs are high and the lows are low.
Well, it's inconsistent. I mean, I would feel dishonest saying like I'm not a confident person or
yes.
I am. I mean,
yeah.
I'm human.
Yeah.
And someday.
Wait a second.
I know.
Second,
whoops.
Wait a second. You're what?
I'm a human being.
Holy fucking shit.
But, like, my confidence and self-esteem would do real well in 2004. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, before the internet.
Before it was, like, hardcore. But,
yeah,
like,
it's difficult.
But this, the armor that I have built and, like, the strong heart or whatever.
Yeah.
Is good for, like, I think real world. Because I'm pretty good at, like, party. I'm pretty good in real life.
Yes.
But my new insecurity has a lot been just, like, comparing myself to other people,
yes.
even though I don't want to feel, I'm like, no, I'm above feeling.
Even though
validation.
If I was exactly, and if I was to complain about something similar, you'd be like, girl.
Yeah, but like,
yeah.
It's a hit when I get a. That's
yeah.
why I deleted Facebook off my phone because whenever I was bored or sad or whatever, I'd be like, well, let me just see if I can get a bump.
Yeah.
Just go to Facebook and get a bump,
yeah.
and then I'd see a couple likes, and I'm like, yeah, still got it. And
still
it's like,
got
gross.
It.
It's not even.
It's not real.
And then there's
not,
that weird thing with like my friend and I were talking about this, like. She has a couple good friends that never really interact with her online, and like so do I. But they're friends who will be like, "Oh my god, I really like your new photo," and I'll be like, "Well, why
didn't you like it?"
Yeah, but it's like, what the fuck? Like, I
yeah,
hate
for me,
this.
It's not the likes. Like, I don't because I early on, I just in Canada when I hosted that show, like a bunch of kids, like just children. So my Facebook is different for me. It's the same in that I will also use it to like. Do a little bit of like self-hate thing of like looking at someone who's doing something really cool
yeah.
and then like feel shit about the way whatever I'm doing is going. But then it's also like these weird, it's a weird thing where I've got like thousands of kids that added me when they were like 12 and 13 that are doing other things now. And often obviously you cling to, or the stories are the ones that are like, you know, 19 and pregnant and like have all these like homemade tattoos and like weird lives. So it's a window into that kind of like I'll go down
yeah.
on their news feeds, which is not the way it's
very sexy.
I'll go way down on everybody's news feeds and then just feel like then you just feel like shit because you're like, what did I fucking do with the last I don't even want to say how long. I don't want to say.
Well, because I will. Well, have you ever stepped away from the internet and been like, okay, I was just online for 2 hours.
Yes.
I cannot tell you anything I just read.
Yes.
Because I saw it. It flashed. I read it. I gave up halfway. But so many articles I give up in the middle because I'm like, this is too long. It's a whole page.
Yeah.
Like if there's like see next page, I'm like, forget about it. I don't have time. And like
before
I know it, it's not like I didn't even absorb anything.
No.
And so it's just.
Even if you try and spoon feed that good like top 10 habits of the most successful people in the world.
And like, don't get me wrong. The internet has been like, I'm going to London in October and like putting up on Facebook and Twitter like, hey, can anyone help me get gigs? The response, like I was so touched by how kind and generous people were just being like, I think you're really funny online. Sure. And like, so it's really positive in that way sometimes for help and for networking when it does its purpose. But like,
yes, it's really cool to connect.
I don't think anyone is immune because it's such a new drug.
Yes.
It really is.
Yeah. I wonder if, I mean, probably there'll be some sort of therapies around.
There already is.
There are.
Yeah.
Really?
It's already, yeah. I think I'm going to switch my page. I keep threatening to switch my page.
To a friend. Like, you know what? I want to do it too.
Should we make a pact?
We can make a pact.
I've made that pact with like 10 people so far. None of us.
Because once you got, then, I mean, it's, yeah, it's so bad, so good. But also yesterday, okay, here's what I did. Yesterday I felt so shitty.
Me too. I woke up really sad.
I felt really sad. Maybe because we knew the energy of Robin Williams, but maybe we're just using that now too.
I also drank on Sunday and I act like the booze blues don't exist, but they definitely do.
They definitely do. Yeah, that's what happened. I had a lot of fun, had a great day on Sunday, and then Monday rolled around and I was just like, I was waiting on some email. And here's what happened. I was waiting on some emails from a couple people about like things that I'm working on, and I didn't get the emails till like 6 p.m. And it's so sad how like quickly my mood changed too.
Yes.
Of like, where, you know, you try and tell yourself, and I tried to coach myself throughout the day of like, dude, you didn't get an email, like who cares, like if you get the email. And the other thing is professional, this is about I'm working with a new manager, and I really, really like her. I'm really, really into it, but I didn't get an email back on something. And this is so stupid. It's like she's got other things to do, and like it's not.
Oh my God,
but it's like
insane.
A self judgment thing where I'm like, oh my God, she's. And then I'm gonna have, and then I'm just gonna. And
they're like, having a meeting like, about how do they get rid of me?
Yes, and yeah, and then it's like if I was to coach anyone on relationships, the way that I deal with things professionally sometimes, it's like you can apply that to exactly the same way you talk to someone who's going through a breakup, where it's like, guess what, if you don't get that email, if you don't get, you know, like a positive response from someone, then it's not supposed to happen.
It's,
and there's all sorts of other things that can happen and will happen.
Relationships and business stuff, they're so similar. And it's also, I really believe, because it's been proven to me time and time again, like the universe or God or whatever you want to call it can tell when I'm being needy. It like can smell it.
Yes.
So when I send an email and I am like, I will not like myself until I get a response.
The universe will be like, all right, go ahead.
Yeah. Or like a guy, if I'm like, oh, unless this guy, you know, wants me, like whatever I'm putting my self-worth on.
Yeah.
I feel like the universe, or like if I fucking put up like a video and I'm like, this has to get a lot of hits, and it doesn't.
Yeah.
The universe is like, and I feel like it's teaching me a lesson. Like my therapist always calls it co-creating with God, that like you're kind of creating it, this experience for yourself with, she's really cool. Janet, what's up? She's the best. But when I have days where I'm busy and I'm treating myself well and I'm exercising or I'm working on another project or I'm spending time with people in real life and not on the internet and doing all these things that are good. And then I go check my email. I haven't checked it in hours.
Yeah.
And it's like, boom, 5 amazing offers of things that I wasn't even thinking about.
Yeah.
And it's this like, but I think the tricky thing, at least for me, is I'm like, well, how do I maintain a calm, easygoing, like I don't need it vibe, but still feel like I'm working hard and care? Does that make any sense?
Yeah, well, it's balance. It's like that's the balance to figure out, is like the effort that you put in that's driven by ambition, and the muting of the shitty things in your head that are also driven by ambition.
Yeah.
That's it. We figured it out.
Oh, God, my head's going to explode.
Looks like we are.
I've been here like 10 minutes.
We are bosses up in this gymnasium, throwing basketballs at the hoops, getting slam dunky doos, and home runs every now and then.
Sure.
Some of these sound effects last a little longer than I had.
I'm like, do I have to talk about sports now?
About that. I think that's also one of those things too with like some younger. So you and I have been doing it for a while, right? Like I've been doing it for like 13 years.
Yeah, me too. I mean, yeah. I feel like it's fair for me to say I had a couple false starts because I tried to quit a couple times, but I've been wanting this for a long time.
And like we've all got like our different paths, but so now talking about that, comparing that path with the path of someone who starts 1, 2, 3 years in and is like doing killer. Well, I think there's a momentum to that where it's like, I will never be able to have sex with comedy as if we're in our first year of
having sex. That ship has sailed.
That ship has sailed, but I will be able to, but there's also like a mastery or like a craftsmanship and like, with that age, with that time put in, there's also like things that I would say more things that we can do that are advantageous in terms of like I've been in this type of meeting or this type of show or this corporate or whatever. I've definitely got better at showcasing. Mm-hmm. But anyway, just talking about that, the spark and the confidence and the balance between being, I don't know if I really connected everything, but
no, clearly the internet has greatly affected my life, but I'm like, man, if I started now, if I was like 23 right now, I would have Googled, how do I become famous? And then I would have gotten a couple wiki pages or whatever, like about.com articles.
Yeah.
And be like, these are the steps. Instead, that didn't happen. But also like life, like everything I'm working on now is so much like personal stuff about what I've been doing for the past 10 years or whatever. And it's like, I just know myself now. Like when I go into a meeting, I know exactly what I'm good at. I know what I'm not good at. I can honestly say like, I wouldn't hire me for blank, but I could definitely do blank. And when I was younger, my two biggest flaws as far as a business person was one, I said yes. I was so quantity, not quality. I was like, yeah, I can do that. And then I was not being honest. And then I also quit really easily. Like the second something got hard, I was like, I don't want to work at this. I don't have time.
Yeah.
It's like, man, if I only knew, like if I knew at like 25, if I just like stuck with something and trusted myself that like certain results would have come.
Yeah.
And I learned that now, but like.
What do you think of when you say 25 and stuck with?
Oh God. I mean, so when I started, I was in LA and I did Groundlings and I passed the first level and I was like, I'm the shit. And then when the second level, I was asked to repeat it. I was like, fuck this place. And I quit.
Okay.
And then Improv Olympic, I went through all the levels and then I auditioned for a Herald team once.
Yeah.
And I didn't get on and I was like, fuck this place. And then like I was working the Comedy Store pretty consistently and met with this manager and wrote a pilot and he didn't like it. And so I was like, I'm never writing again. And like ripped it up and cried. Like I was just, I did not understand stick with itness. I just was like,
yeah, but you also, as you're listing those things, those are a bunch of accomplishments, writing a pilot at that time and the stages that, and the training that you did go through.
Absolutely. And I don't discount those things.
But it's like looking back, you're like, oh yeah, no, I'm way more badass at understanding what I need to do.
It's like when I was a kid, I did gymnastics twice. And the first time I fell off the balance beam, I was like, I'm never going back again. And not to blame my parents at all, but
I think it's their fault that you fell off the balance
beam. It totally is. But my mom was like, I was like, I want to quit. She was like, okay. And she like, let me stay home and eat pizza and watch TV. Cause you know, she wanted, my mom very much like protected me from being hurt. So I think there's a little bit of that.
Because maybe she always sensed that the highs were high and the lows were low.
Probably.
Or and maybe she feels similarly.
Well, also, I think you just, certain parents, you know, to know that's what they know. You know, she's like a full-time career mom and she did everything she could to protect me. It'd always be like, be careful. So I really kind of got comfortable being average. And like anytime there was a risk involved of like, I could get hurt, I sort of backed off. So if I had to do my 20s all over again, I would have like stuck with Groundlings. I would have like stuck with, you know, UCB, same thing. First time I auditioned for Herald Team and I didn't get on, I quit.
Yeah. But interestingly now you're about to, when are you going to London with Bad Bride?
I'm going to London. So I'm going to do 3 Bad Bride shows here, the first three in New York, first 3 Wednesdays in October. Then I go to London and do it. And then
I'm where going, is it in New York?
It'll be at this theater.
This theater, okay.
And then I'll be in London at the Nursery Theater. I'm going to do some stand-up. And then I'm going to go to the Hell Yeah Fest in New Orleans and do it there.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to do it in Austin at the New Movement Theater out there.
Man. So now this thing, so now to put some perspective on it, this thing that sort of, and Bad Bride is based on a divorce.
Yes.
Which is that, which...
another thing I quit.
Which is another thing you quit. But you wouldn't have like this honest gem of a thing that's now taking you all over the world. You wouldn't have without the experience of having gone through and quit something.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and this has taught me incredible patience because I started working on the show years ago, did it last year, haven't done it in about 7 months because I've been working on like the longer version and like have been working on other stuff. And
yeah,
I just wrote a pilot based off of it. My book proposal just went out based off of it. And that took me almost 3 years. I mean, like, it's really taught me to just stick with something. And I know, but that's like, you know, as much as comedy and life and whatever can be depressing and stressful, I'm so grateful that like, I get to talk about this stuff on stage and hopefully make other people feel better. That's always been my goal, is to make people feel better.
Yeah.
Myself included.
Well, mostly, right?
nice. Yeah, right. Look at that. But like, days where I feel like garbage and I'll be like, oh, I don't want to go do the show. I'll go do the show and I'll talk about what made me sad on stage.
Yeah.
And I know that's probably not, you know, TV friendly.
No, I mean.
But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And I always feel better.
Well, when I auditioned for Last Comic Standing, Roseanne told me, girl, I want to see more of your pain.
So, really?
Yeah.
Wait, did you make it on the show?
No. Well, I was on the top 100, but I didn't go further than that.
Okay.
But that's okay. That's okay. Oh, we were talking before when we were coming in about like kind of not gatekeepers, because it seems kind of like hater to be like, they're the gatekeepers. And yeah. I'd be everywhere without them.
Yeah.
But just the, now that we're, because this is a good candid talk.
Oh, yeah.
Just to rate, I rate the talk every now and then. Yeah. This is a good candid talk right now.
I have no, I'm always, every time I'm about to do like, yeah.
This one's too long too.
I'm trying to learn boundaries a little bit, but every time I like do like.
Oh God, it's still happening. Okay. I'm trying to learn bubble boundaries. Every time you do, yeah.
Like a podcast or a show, I'll be like, all right, Juliet, don't talk about that one thing. Because maybe it's a little, and then like the second like the mic is on, I'm like, oh my God, you wouldn't believe it.
Yeah, because why not? Because that's the thing. And when you were talking about pain on stage, I think, and when what the critique from, because at first when Roseanne said that, I was like, fuck you. I'm doing a 3 minutes of showcase here. Yeah. Like, what am I going to, how deep am I going to get into like my Muslim family broke up with me? It's like very hard. I think that's more of like a longer set to
me.
Yeah,
you want to give it the respect it deserves.
Yeah. But anyway, but she's, in a way, that's the interesting, when I listen to a podcast, if people are just sort of grazing the surface and like throwing their material out there, I'm less likely to listen to it than if you and I are just killing it in terms of talking about life.
I mean, I can work out some tweets if you want.
No. So we were talking, okay, we're talking about
gatekeepers,
or just the idea, like there's one thing, there's social media that can bum you out. In terms of like opportunities that you haven't gotten or didn't get or won't get. And then there's also like, specific shows. Specific shows that will propel you, or, you know, late night sets or whatever. And for that, you need one person to love you.
It's what can happen, and what I have had a bad habit of doing, which I'm really focused on changing, is focusing on the no's. So like you'll get one no, you'll have like one person who's like, nah, like not into you, which is going to happen the same way. Not everyone loves, I don't know, I love lox on bagels. And some people gag when I say that, right?
Yeah.
So not everyone likes Razi on their bagel.
On their bagel, yeah.
I don't know who these monsters are.
Fucking animals.
But delicious. And my jokes are scrumptious. So anyways.
I think you should just, we can take that as a sound clip and just make that a GIF. Bite?
Yeah, and just send it to industry and be like, my jokes are delicious.
Julia Rossi, her jokes are delicious. There we go. Perfect.
Oh, Oh God, what's happened to us?
I don't know. I tried too hard to make a sound GIF.
Yeah,
which is not maybe even
a real
thing.
I don't even know if that's a
guys. Listen. So not focusing on the no's, focusing on the opportunities.
Well, it's like I will focus on a no, and meanwhile, like one of my friends will be like, "But aren't you
doing this? And this
didn't
and
you
this?
Just have this meeting with so and so and da 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 da?" And I'm like,
"Yeah."
But that goes back to, you know, I used when I was younger focusing on like I have 50 people at my birthday party and I'd focus on the one person who didn't show up. It's like it's a shitty way to
it's
be.
A bad pattern. Actually, yeah. Aparna Nancherla was on this podcast. You know Aparna.
I love Aparna.
Love Aparna.
I've had very similar conversations with her too, like that I've had with you.
Okay. Well, I guess every brown girl's the same to you.
Totally.
How do I make it stop once it starts? Okay. If anyone's listening,
wake up.
If anyone can tweet at me, how do I make an iMovie sound effect just shut down? Instead of like, because I can do this, but then I've got it, you know, the volume clicks. Okay. So tweet on in to Sabrina Jalise or tweet at Julia Rossi. I mean, tweet at us. Let us know. Yeah, Aparna was talking about the, I forget what kind of therapy it is, but connecting the thoughts therapy, where it's like, okay, once you have this thought, you start thinking about the no. The type of therapy that she was talking about is where you, rather than go down the web, you don't go down a web, you get stuck in a web, right? You go flush down the toilet.
I do all those things at times.
You are constantly wrapped in spider webs sitting on the
cognitive
toilet.
Cognitive behavioral therapy?
Yes, that one, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So like connecting it with a better thought.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just to make it clear, I have some wonderful days.
Yeah, and to make it clear, I'm killing it.
Yeah, I feel, that's the thing is, I'm having a really fun, I'm having so much fun on stage lately.
That's the best.
It is, because then other people are attracted to that. It's like, you know, it's, again, it's just like relationships. If you're walking around feeling a piece of shit, no one's
going
to wanna.
Yeah. Like, this is work, this is work, this is work.
Yeah.
And that's what comes off.
But, yeah, no, I read this, I think I've talked about this book so many times, I feel like on many podcasts.
How many podcasts have you been on?
In my life?
Yeah.
I don't know. 20, 30,
40? Oh, shit.
You're going to do a...
I'm going to look for one that has only 2 seconds. Yeah.
Yeah, that was okay.
That was a good one.
This book, anyone who's listening to this who knows me is going to be like, God, Julia, this book again. Untethered Soul. that's good. Untethered Soul. It talks all about the untethering of your soul.
Is it by Louise...
No, Ruiz? But you're talking about Four Agreements.
Yes,
that used to be the book that I would like buy and give to people as gifts all the time, because that was like one of the first books that I think changed the way my head worked. And now this one, my Amazon review would be like, "Do you like lying on the floor and weeping because the truth is being told to you over and over again?" It's like, so. It's very tough love about shutting off that negative voice. And it's like, do you want to die like this? Like, it gets very intense. And I've had it on my phone.
So audiobook? So she actually is saying, do you want to die like this?
I mean, he's not screaming that bad, but I've listened to like 4 times now. I think I need to take a break because I'm real untethered, but it's good. It is, I don't know. I really like it.
It's good, good listening.
Yeah, yeah. Whatever helps, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go through just real quick your content. I'm going to go through one piece of your content online.
Okay.
Which is called 7 Signs. It's More Than Just Cold Feet, which is what you wrote for Huffington Post. Just to go through, because some of you might be getting married soon. Here's Julia's advice on whether to get married or not get married. Should I start from 7 and go to 1?
Sure.
Yeah, why not? Number 7 is you don't want to get married, which seems pretty straightforward, but some people don't want to get married. Right?
Or at that time. I didn't want to get married at that time.
Okay, number 6, you think about being single like a lot.
Like more than not.
Like more than not thinking
about it. I am very realistic about relationships. I think
I think everyone, I don't know, I hate it when I meet couples where they're like,
everything's perfect.
Yeah, we never even check out other people. No, and I'm that's like, come just on.
The what are just, you talking about?
Just be honest. But
because that's the thing, is when people lie about, like, when people are overly, it's the same thing with sexuality, where people, when people are like, oh yeah, yeah, I would never even know what, if a guy's good looking. It's like, no, you do know if a guy's good looking. I get that you don't think about putting your dick in him, but like, there's a spectrum and there's an attraction, and that exists.
I feel like my take on relationships is relationships are a privilege, they're not an obligation. Like, you don't, yeah. You can live your life with no one. So if you're allowed or experience this privilege of sharing your life with someone, why lie and try to be something you're not? Like, the amount of people that I've met who are cheaters and liars, you're just like, what the, why are you even fucking married? That's why I love, like, I keep getting like asked to do things that have to do with like, well, you're the divorce expert. And I'm like, you know what? Fine. Yeah. I'm not pro divorce. I'm just anti not good relationships.
No, but it's also great advice and not a lot, and candid, and not a lot of people do it. Not a lot of people women. That are in. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, girls are just supposed to be like, anyone, please, yeah. Please marry me. Like, when you meet a girl and they're like, one of my goals is to be married. And I'm like, no. What do you mean? When you meet the person, sure. But like, just to
yeah,
say.
Well, then that goes back to what we were talking about in terms of, the energy you put out. And it's the same thing as if you go into like showcases of like, my goal is to have this.
Yeah.
Versus you're having fun on stage. It's a big difference.
Yeah.
Having fun in life. Then people are like joining your life party versus
then everyone proposes to you.
Then everybody's proposing to you, girl. Number five, you cry a lot. There's a like in there. You cry like a lot. You cry like a lot.
Yeah.
And that's that's a given because you're not happy. Right?
You're smart.
I mean, I've figured it out. Listen, what I've done is I've lived this life about 29 years, and I've sort of looked back and looked within. And sort
are you
of,
only 29?
29.
Oh.
29 years old. But I have the soul of a 97-year-old.
You do have an old soul.
I do, right?
Yeah. You look very young, but you have an old soul.
I've been talking to adults since I was two. Started early.
I think I have a young soul.
I've been having
soul.
These conversations since I was five. Just like, so cognitive therapy, what's that?
Do
you have a young soul?
I don't know. Do I?
Yeah, I think so.
But I mean, I talk about.
But how come?
I like talk about like smart shit and stuff.
I mean, you like, did put a like in one of your headlines.
Yeah, I do that on purpose because write
it's
how I talk.
Conversational. Yeah. Your book is going to be, will it be called Bad Bride as well? It's the whole
it
brand.
It hasn't. So, well, who knows what'll happen as the time this podcast. What? But, The book is...
You've got an agent that's...
Yeah. That's, so it's basically this article, but more.
Yeah.
So it's like more signs.
Cool. And did you get the... Did the book agent approach you from the article?
No, we... I wrote... Elliot Glazer has a book called My Parents Were Awesome.
Yeah.
And I had a thing in it. And then I performed at his book release party in his... And that was his agent.
Oh,
and
cool.
I met her. And so I had like other ideas. I was going to do a book about being a child of immigrants, as you can relate to.
Yeah.
And... a bunch of other ideas, and then this one was sort of the most unique and interesting, and it's a long process to get the right proposal done, but we're both really excited, so
yeah. It's exciting. Mm-hmm. Is it going to be, so the article's called Seven Signs It's More Than Just Cold Feet, is it going to be about like these are the signs that this is not the right partner?
Yeah, this would be, the book would be more signs, and it would be a, like half self-helpy and then half like humor memoir.
So untethered like I would, soul. So then at one point I could be listening to your voice being like, stop living your life like that.
Maybe. I mean, I like healing.
Yeah, me too. That's what I mean for this podcast. That's sort of my goal all the time, is to be like, what's the things that we think about?
So every single person is so fucked up.
So fucking broken.
So let's just hold hands.
I wonder, was it more stressful when we were younger or now? Like in some ways it's easier because in some ways you don't give a shit, but then you give a shit about other things.
Oh, I think
like there's no anxiety when you're younger about what's going to happen, like what kinds of life decisions and career decisions.
Yeah, but I had anxiety about, like, you know, why wasn't I invited to drink with the cool kids on the tracks?
Yeah. So then is that equal to...
Is that equal to
whatever baggage from relationships or divorce or whatever? Like the life things now.
I wish I knew the answer.
Now that something I need you to tweet in.
Yeah.
Tweet into the show and let me know.
Wait, what do you ask? Maybe I'm not clear on the question.
No one ever is on the show.
No. I'm so, like, are you saying?
You have a thing when you're young and then you're old and depression.
I think what you're asking, I think the answer would be yes if I'm correct in what you're saying. So, like, the kind
Let's
of anxiety.
Keep in mind, I'm the old soul and you're the young soul, Julia.
The kind of anxiety I had. So, as a kid.
Yeah.
So, what I just explained.
Not the kind of anxiety, the amount. Like, the amount of. Because at the end of the day, you have a day or a week or a year, and you've had a certain amount of happiness and a certain amount of anxiety and a certain amount of, like, stuff that, like, yeah, I mean, you couldn't control it. And then there's. I'm talking about the stuff that you can kind of control, where you, like, I have a thought and I'm like, oh, I wish I was working out. I don't like the way these jeans fit. Oh, I wish I had this show or whatever. The stuff that you create for yourself, do you think that it is an equal amount when you're younger?
Well,
but it's just different stuff.
Well, I think, okay, your world is smaller when you're younger. When I was younger, the biggest thing in my world was, like, not being invited to that party. Mm-hmm. And now my world is bigger.
Yeah.
So the party's bigger. So now the party I'm not invited to is, like, I wasn't booked on that thing.
But
or
it's
like,
an equal amount of stress, but just for a smaller thing and for a bigger thing.
I think so, but it's just things
but
are
also
more.
We kind of get better at dealing with it. So we get stronger and bigger and our minds are more complex.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's always going to be. Every time I have a big epiphany about, like, life, mm-hmm. and now I've changed, and now I read this book, and now whatever, mm-hmm. some other shit happens, and then you just keep growing and growing, and, I mean, life. That was such a, like, life, you know? Great.
Perfect.
These are the best.
All bad. Right, so thank you so much. I needed that.
Yeah.
Okay, so the next one, number four.
We're still doing it.
Yeah. Number four, you've become a belligerent, bloated oaf.
Yeah.
What?
Oh, I gained so much booze weight.
You did?
I was just like, you know when you feel like you're wearing, I wasn't.
This is before the wedding?
Yeah, I wasn't fat. I just wasn't, I looked like I was wearing a costume, I felt like. There was like a little bit of an inflated costume, and it was totally like, we're going to eat that? Like, I did the opposite of bridal boot camp.
Okay.
Yeah.
And number three, you hardly hang out with your fiance. That happened?
That's a great sign.
That is a very good sign.
He, I always say this, is and still one of the best human beings on the planet.
Yes.
Just was not the time.
Yeah.
And yeah, I needed to grow up. Uh-huh. And so I kind of avoided him while I tried to do that.
Yeah. I think the whole, like, the message in the article is, like, you weren't ready to
be.
Yeah. To clarify day. Number two, you really, 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 really don't care or do care about wedding planning.
Yeah, I think if you, again, these are just my, I think if you are either so ambivalent and like, I don't care, whatever, yeah, fuck it, we'll do that.
Yeah.
Or if you're like, all you do
is plan,
I think either, it's like the balance thing. If you're like obsessed because you're avoiding feeling or you're avoiding it completely because you don't want to deal, I think those are kind of signs. Not kind of, they are. I wrote the article.
You did,
yeah. I am doctor.
You are the doctor.
Dr. Rossi wedding something.
Wedding schnapps.
Yeah.
Number one, you ask everyone, should I get married? Should I? Is this for me? That's what you kept on doing?
Oh my God, my friend, at my vet, my favorite one was, do you know Margot Lightman?
Maybe.
Okay, we host a show called Strip Stories together, which she's in LA now, so it's not as often, but we still do it. It's like sex-themed storytelling comedians, and she's one of my really good friends, and she was at my bachelorette party, and I was very drunk, as a surprise, and I went up to her, and I was like, Marks, do you think I should get married? And no one would, like, be honest with me, because I sort of was falling apart.
Yeah.
Because I would be like, no, I really want this. Like, I was so back and forth.
Yeah.
And Margo was just like, Jules, if you have to ask, I think you know the answer. And I was like, cool, who wants to do a shot? And then I just, like, danced away. Yeah.
So she kind of knew.
A lot of my friends knew, but what could they do? I mean, they tried to tell me. But
yeah,
what
because
could
they
do?
See. They
yeah,
can see
my mom even did. My mom's like, "Do you want to, like, you know, maybe?" My mom, of all people, was like, "You don't really seem. No one's making you, okay."
How long were you together before you got married?
We were together 8 years.
Whoa.
I mean, I still love him as a human. He's a great person.
You guys are in contact now?
Yeah, he just had two kids. He had twins on Thursday.
Yeah, guy.
New lady. Yeah, he's really happy.
Awesome.
I'm really happy for him.
I'm really happy for you.
Thank you. I'm really happy for you.
And I believe you.
I'm the only one to get the job done.
Oh.
I don't know a nigga that could cover for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Got some game from my day. So she might say she love me. She don't love me like she say she love me. Believe me. Believe me. I'm the nigga boy that love me in the street.
Lots of N-words for a podcast with two just pure Aryan raced ladies. Pure Aryan.
We're not Aryan. Both ethnically ambiguous.
We're both, yeah, we could both play maybe Portuguese to something. Native.
Yeah. Jews.
On the spectrum. Jews?
I don't know. Jews?
Jewishy.
Yeah.
Jewishy.
Armenian. I get Armenian a lot.
I was going to try to come up with a joke. I was going to say, I get something passion. But it's like, why do that?
Yeah, I mean.
Such a nice conversation. Why not
did.
Just call?
We just ruined it.
We just, no. We can fix that very easily, Julia.
I'm not trying to find nobody else to beat. I know when they kind of see because they are. Believe me.
If they could see this dancing.
They would know not to sue us.
Yeah.
Guys, we're going to give my mom a call. My mom, we'll give her a call and she'll tell us what she's been up to. My mother also produced that song.
Oh.
Yeah, she's a rap producer.
She's an original OG.
She's an original OG, yeah.
I don't
know. An original.
Original Julia.
Oh, God, if she doesn't pick up, she's kidding.
If she doesn't pick up, we can call
her.
Hello.
How are you?
Mom, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, take a guess at what my guest's name is.
Julia, and I like the way it's written.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It's Italian.
I like it. I always like when things are a little bit different, and it backfired with me with Sabrina.
Why? Right? Oh, because, Sabrina? My birth name is Sabrina. Like, it's spelled with two E's.
Oh.
But then every time, like, when I was younger, and this is also, like, how things change when you get older, but when I was younger, I was like, oh, my God, people are going to find out I'm different. I didn't want people to know that I was, like, crazy and different and weird. I just wanted to be Aryan. So I changed my name to I at school, and then, so legally it's with two E's. If anyone's trying to hack into
it. Yeah, because I thought, you know, it's nice to be a little bit different. I mean, I already thought at that time you might be a little bit different, you know.
You knew I was a big old lesbian.
No, not that.
But Mom, wait, actually, Mom, I have a question. Were there any times when I was younger, like playing baseball, getting mushroom cuts, that you were like, this is kind of dykey?
Never thought of it, but looking back, I could have had signs.
What were the signs that you could have had?
Well, you know, when you wanted to wear Sonny's little bow tie for the picture in first grade. Remember
cute.
That picture?
Yeah.
And his shirt? You look so cute.
Yeah. Oh.
So cute. Yeah.
Oh, I love you, Mommy.
And remember once you came home from summer camp and you were crying, the girls wouldn't let you use the girls' washroom? I don't know what it
that
was.
That wasn't my fault. That was probably because... But
it wasn't
transitioning
your fault, but it was kind of weird.
Yeah, I just came off as a little doodly.
Yeah.
She she sounded like my mom and she said, so cute. I just got really nostalgic.
We can call your mom after if you want.
We could.
Let's surprise her.
Okay.
Mommy, I know you're busy. Can you talk about what you're up to these days?
Yeah, well, I thought, should we be talking about Robin Williams or no?
We did it, Mom. Do you want to talk about... what do you have to say about Robin Williams?
No, it's just a sad thing because we talk a lot about depression and all that. And then, you know, like, it's kind of sad that, you know, some people can't be helped somehow.
Yeah. You know, and I also... another thing I was going to say is I wonder if he would have seen how much, like, on that day where... obviously it's not a daily thing, but if you would have... been able to somehow feel the outpour of like how much around the world he's touched everyone, if it could have given him that boost.
You know what I've been hearing on the radio, they're talking about it and about depression and all that, and people who have been depressed, you know, like I think when you get to that point, you just cannot, you know, like just everything is bad, you know, there's no light at the end of the tunnel, you know. Also, they were saying that that a lot of men who commit suicide, so quite often it's financial, you know, that they have financial problems, and Some people were wondering if he did have financial problem because it's his third marriage. Apparently, he's got a daughter who's like 2 or 3 years old. Oh. And, you know, how you know, like these famous rich people have to pay off their spouses like millions and millions, and they end up, you know, poorer than the spouses. So I don't know. I mean, we'll never know really what happened. You know, it's just sad, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyways, what I'm doing is I'm helping a 92-year-old friend, you know, with her move to a senior's apartment. And she's lived in the same apartment for 37 years and has collected everything going back to even before the 37 years. So it's painfully, very painfully slow.
Yeah.
And, you know, she gets tired very fast too. I feel sorry for her too. She's just overwhelmed. I mean, you know, she's had an accident and, you know, has gone through a lot in the last few months.
She was visiting New York. This is my mom's friend, Trudy. She was visiting New York. And you know, when you're walking down the street and you're like, whoa, like, why are there just booby traps on the floor? There's just like gates open up you fall into the abyss.
No, she didn't.
She fell. 92 years old, fell into a sub, into the hole.
Yeah, she fell in there.
Oh yeah. God!
So she broke her arm. Luckily, nothing else. But it like took forever.
She was
to
very
heal.
Badly bruised, and yeah. You know, she's quite weak. I mean, I would say she has aged at least 5 years with that experience. That has aged her at least. So that means from 92 to 97. You know.
Well, so now my mom, the kind-hearted beauty that she is helping her sort through her stuff. And also, if you want my mom to help your old lady sorts of stuff, we can work out a price. And this is a genuine offer. If you live in the Toronto area, Ursula Fry's companionship and trash sort of type of memory talk and trashing.
Yeah. You know, she's got a really nice dinette set. It's 4 chairs, like it's kind of like vintage.
Okay, so we can also promote that.
Oh.
Are you gonna throw that on Craigslist?
I put it on Craigslist for $2.95, and right away somebody wanted it.
Whoa!
And then Trudy changed her mind and said, "Oh, I want to keep 2 chairs."
Oh, great!
So I, you know, sent them the thing back. Now I said it's difficult to, you know, sell it with 2 chairs.
Yeah.
And these people have come back and said, you know, if she will let us have it for $400. We'll pick it up. So they're coming today to pick it up.
To pick it up with the 2 chairs.
And I'm thinking probably it's worth even more. It's really nice. It's unique. It's kind of, you know how some of these vintage pieces are like modern looking?
Yeah.
Very kind of clean lines. That's what it is, yeah.
Send me a picture. Maybe I'll offer more.
Well, it's gone now, but I'll send you a picture just so you know.
Oh, maybe I'll just mail it and get it.
She's got a really huge wooden desk. So today we'll, you know, clear that. I'll take a picture, put it on Craigslist and...
All right, so the two things to promote are your old lady accompanying service and your posts on Craigslist. If you're in the Toronto area, check out Craigslist for my mom.
And I'm thinking to give her a day off this week. You know that movie, The 100-Foot Journey? It just came out.
100-Foot Journey.
I want to go and see it.
Is it about walking 100 feet?
No, I think it's somebody who's has a really posh French restaurant somewhere in the south of France.
Ooh.
And somebody, or is opening one up, and somebody has an Indian restaurant that they're clashing, and I guess at the end they probably, you know, maybe
get together. And maybe
I'm not sure, but Helen Mirren is in it.
So a bit of that?
It's got a pretty good cast, you know.
Sounds
like a movie she will like and I will like, you know.
Okay, Mommy, you are an angel from heaven. And you are also my mother,
which I
love you. The Pakistani Swiss heaven.
Okay,
bye.
The heaven where taxes get done months in advance because moms remind their kids.
Okay, bye. Okay. Julia, I looked you, you know, but I always feel like I have to kind of know who I'm talking to.
Uh-huh.
And I really liked your article in the Huffington Post about the 7 reasons not to get married.
We just went through it.
Like thank
very
you.
Funny.
Thank you very
funny,
much.
Yeah.
You know what?
Very funny and very true.
Yes, very true.
I think that deserves... well, I wish it was more joyous, but the... okay.
Yeah.
That was the first compliment in history from Ursula Fry, my mother,
really?
To a podcast guest.
Oh,
yeah.
I feel honored. Thank you.
Mom?
Okay.
Thank you so much.
All right, mommy.
Well, because sometimes she doesn't let me know who is coming, and then sometimes they have, like, you know, unusual names, and I can't hear very well over the phone, and then she makes fun of me.
If only your mom was a gatekeeper, Sabrina. Huh?
Right?
Yeah.
Mom, yeah. Look into if you can book the Tonight Show. She's my mom's also offering to do that job. Mom, love you very much. Have a wonderful day. I'll talk to you next time we record a podcast.
Bye.
So cute.
I've decided to only talk to her when we record podcasts.
Love it.
Just to keep it fresh.
I thought about doing a podcast just me and my mom talking all the time. And then I had to explain to my mom what a podcast was because I don't have the internet. And I feel like that could be a podcast in itself.
My mom didn't get it either. I don't think my mom's ever listened to the podcast. Guys, if you could tweet at my mother, she doesn't have a Twitter account. Twitter tramps, shrimp shrellis, choosh. It's been a very sincere episode of My Sexy Podcast, and from my heart to yours, I hope you look up Julia, follow her on the internet. Julia?
Yeah.
Any last reasons to believe you?
Real. You know, just accept that we all got shit, and let's just try to make some gold out of that shit.
Let's make some gold ass shit.
Stone cold, don't you know you are my heartache?
No one ever is on the show. I'm always like, you have a thing when you're young and then you're old and depression.
Mistakes. You'll be screaming out for more when I'm halfway out the door.